God of love and power, we know that you are with us and you are for us. Break through into our lives and into your church. Break through our fears and replace them with faith. You are the God who breaks down every barrier, and we trust your Spirit will break through in us, in our lives, in the life of our church, and in our community. Fill us with the grace, mercy, and power of Jesus. Help us to discern where your Spirit is leading. Open doors that lead us into a new season of faithfulness and fruitfulness for your kingdom. Give us faith and courage to step through the doors that you open. Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Before I begin the announcements this morning, Gordon has something he would like to share with you.
Thank you. I would like to say to the congregation that last Sunday when I left here, I didn't expect what I turned out to be. I had started out with a sore throat, and they took me by ambulance to St. Mary's, or not St. Mary's, UW, And by the time I got there, I could not talk. I could not swallow. And they put a breathing tube down my throat that was 7 inches long and about an inch and a half in diameter. It kept my mouth open. My tongue filled my mouth completely. I was in misery. And Sunday night, I was all ready to, I said to God, if you wanted me, I was ready. Because I was in such misery. I could not swallow. I could not do anything. They finally gave me a suction tube about 6 o'clock Monday morning so I could suck the saliva out of my mouth that was created by the things you put in your mouth. And when you chew, it creates saliva. And they looked at my tongue and they showed, they had a mirror and they showed me my tongue was beet red. And I thought, wow, that I prayed a lot, and I have to thank Pastor Doris for coming and for the prayers from the congregation. So I think that pretty much filled up what I had to say. It was scary. When I first got to the hospital, well, the doctor told me Monday morning that they would have given me another 15 minutes in life if I wouldn't have got there when I did. And I don't remember much from leaving here because I don't know what they did at the hospital here, but I'm pretty sure John said they gave me a shot that put me out. I don't know. I don't remember nothing from that point on till Monday morning. But Sunday night was misery. And I wish it on nobody. Then it was from a pill that I was taking for, I had taken it for 8 months. It was supposed to calm my heart, but it didn't do too much. It really did a lot of damage to me. But I'm so thankful for everybody and for your thoughts and prayers and for the food. Everybody's been so fabulous. Thank you.
Gordon, thank you for sharing your story. We're so happy you're with us this morning. For the announcements, I'd like to share, and Gordon shared his concerns and his thanksgiving. There are blue cards in the back of the pews that you can fill out for joys and concerns and put them in the offering plate and take time to sign the attendance pads that are at the center of the aisle. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find Christmas at Concordia. That is our schedule of special services. Also, United Methodist Student Day, there is an envelope that you can make a donation to that. Pastor Doris asked that I highlight a few of the announcements that you'll find in the bulletin. The Sauk Prairie Giving Tree is out in the main entrance. Tags can be taken and returned by December 15th with an unwrapped gift. Please stay following the service to help decorate the sanctuary. If you're interested in poinsettias for the sanctuary, there are forms available in the narthex, and please return them by December 9th. And this sounds like a lot of fun next Sunday, December 2nd at 3 o'clock here at Concordia. We welcome everybody, no matter what your age or your talents, to make an Advent wreath by yourself or with your family. There is a sign up in the fellowship hall. Salvation Army bell ringers are wanted, and there's a sign up in the fellowship hall. We're going to be ringing at two locations the weekend of December 21st through the 23rd. All the rest of the bulletin are in the bulletin for you to look at. Yes.
Just a reminder,
Okay.
2019
ones
are now available for pickup in
Okay. So the offering, new envelopes are available in Fellowship Hall for 2019. And Emily, would you like to share something with us this morning?
Staff Parish Relations has been recognizing the staff people that work for the church, and we have two more today to recognize. Our custodian is Tony. So if you're here sometime during the week and you see Tony and he loves to talk, thank him for all of the work that he does keeping our church clean. And we would also like to recognize Robin, our choir director.
Please stand at this time and we will sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus in the red hymnal, page 349. Please join me in our praise. Let's pause and take a breath between Turkey and Carols, Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Let's pause and take a breath, looking for signs.
Listen for sounds of a realm not of this world.
It's real. It's truth.
It's the reign of Christ, the reign that was with us before, is with us now, and is still not fully here.
Let's pause and breathe in life and love and truth.
And you may now turn in the red hymnal to page 203, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
He comes to break our
Let us pray together. Our God, with thankful hearts, we pause this day to be reminded of our grandest hope, that the calamities, demands, even the blessings of this world do not have the last word. You are the one who was and is and who is yet to come, a ruler of a different kind. Open our hearts to the comfort, the challenge, and the mystery of this good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Our first scripture from the Old Testament comes from 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 7. The last words of David. These are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire? But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or a shaft of the spear. They are burned up where they lie. Chancel choir.
Everlasting God of Abraham, the nations glorify his name, all his majesty. song, please sing with us.
If you know it.
Give thanks. You won't know the start, but when it gets to the part you know, you'll know it.
Beautiful. Thank you, choir. From the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is in another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. What is the truth? Pilate asked. This is the word of God. Praise be to God.
Person. I need no one. I'm my own person. No one owns me. I am an independent person. I need no one. I am my own person. No one owns me.
Come, bow down before your Lord, your King.
Excuse me? I have no king. I don't need a king.
The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings.
Where is his kingdom?
In your heart and spirit.
You've got to be kidding.
No. The Lord seeks to reign in your heart, to establish his kingdom in your life.
Nobody's setting up shop in my head.
It's difficult to understand. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking you out as friend and witness.
Witness to what?
To God's absolute love for you and for all creation.
All I see is war and violence, viciousness and hatred.
Open your eyes. There is more to see than that. You yourself have been a blessing to someone recently.
Me? I don't think so. What do you mean?
You recently offered your help to a person in need, didn't you?
Well, yes, but...
You supported people who were in ministries of caring and compassion.
Well, of course. That's what you should do.
Why?
Because they needed help, and even though I couldn't provide it directly, I could help cover the expenses of those who could be right at hand.
Why do you do it?
Because it was needed. Someone has to help, right?
It's nice that you are part of that someone. Christ's love is reigning in you.
I never thought of it that way.
Whenever you have reached out to others in love and compassion, you have reached out to Christ. You have become part of the kingdom team.
But I don't feel controlled or ruled over.
You're not. Christ is working with you to bring about God's kingdom.
So, I'm actually doing what God wants? How about that?
Keep on working. There is much to be done, and God is with you through it all. Amen.
Thank you. This week, the scripture readings have us thinking about last words. David was on his deathbed, and so would be relinquishing his kingship and the kingdom. We know that these weren't the last words of Jesus, but the reading talks about one of the last teachings of Jesus that is so important for our lives. Pilate asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" This being the last Sunday in the church year, next week begins Advent. The scripture that is used is for Jesus' kingship is the same scripture that we read during between Palm Sunday and Easter each year. Scripture about Jesus dying. One of the things that we know about this Jesus is that he was with God from the very beginning, and he was in charge. John writes in the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the one who was full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory like that of a father's only son. But Pilate thinks he's in charge. He's in charge of everything in Judea. And he wasn't aware that Jesus was king. So, are you the king? Jesus replies, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world." But think how threatening that would have been to Pilate. Not necessarily because Jesus would have been the king, but if Pilate accepted that Jesus was the king, that would have threatened his life with the emperor, who everyone knew was the king of the Roman Empire, which included Judea. Philip invited Nathanael earlier in the scripture, and he confessed to Jesus, "You are God's son. You are the king of Israel." And unspoken there is, "You are the one for whom we've waited to take us out of this oppression, this misery, this life that we're living." Much earlier than this, God was the God of the Hebrew people, the Israelites. And they were in a country and they were surrounded by nations who all had kings. They were surrounded by nations and they could see who their rulers were. They could name their rulers. And so they went and said, "God, we want a king." God said, "No, no, no, you don't want a king." "Yes, God, we want a king." And they kept after it and after it until God says, "Okay, I think you're going to be sorry, but I'll give you a king." And even though appointed by God, every king fell into the world's definition of king. They didn't become king like God, the authority, God, the ruler. They became kings like those people who were around them. Could we expect anything more of them? Jesus' rule is hidden. Many people fail to see him as the Holy One of God, who is with God and who is God. So his kingship is called into question. The people of Israel during Jesus' time were expecting a king like those that they knew. So what do you do with a person who's supposed to be king and he stands there and does nothing, calls no one to come and help him when he is arrested, put in chains, when he's taken before the ruler in Judea? He's not acting like a king. He's not acting like what we expect that he should. And so, when Pilate says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus doesn't answer his question. Instead, he says, "Do you say that because of what you know or because of what other people said?" And so Pilate asked, "What have you done?" Again, Jesus does not answer the question. Jesus' response to Pilate indicates that there's another world. And that he's the king of that one. Now, they didn't have GPS, so they couldn't go direct the computer to find the house that's at 730 Center Street or Road 6 in Jerusalem. But they knew enough that the world was larger than Israel, and the world was larger than the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and the world was larger than those Roman people who had control of what seemed like everything. So Pilate would have been threatened. "So you say you are a king? Well, that's what you say." And in that, Pilate unintentionally affirms who Jesus is. And the process of what Jesus has been doing through this is, Pilate is the one with the authority, but Jesus is slowly taking that authority away from him as he asks, doesn't answer the questions that are asked, but speaks truth. What we're hearing here is the question that we ask in our lifetimes. And that is, who is in charge? Now, you can go home after church and you know who's in charge by the person who's preparing the meal. You can go home, you boys can go home after church. You can go home after church and wonder who's in charge. And you know what the lines are, what's acceptable and unacceptable, and you step over this line and you find out it's not you who's in charge. We're looking for who's in charge. And we, like the Israelites, can give power to people because it seems like they have authority. It seems like they can make the right decisions. And what happens when we see those people who we give the authority to, we see them making decisions that aren't good decisions or that may even be catastrophic for us? If they're in charge, that leaves us hopeless. If they have the authority, then there's nothing that I can really do about that. And so a lot of people today are asking the same question that the Jewish people did, and that is there any hope? Some people are, is there any hope that I'm going to get out of this situation? Is there any hope that I can work my way out of this debt? That's a serious question for kids who are, young people who are in college, because the indebtedness is incredible when they graduate. And who's in charge is a question for us today as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Psychologists and sociologists like to do surveys, so they did one. And they found out that the people who responded said that this is the worst time in American history. And that included people who went through World War I. And that included the time of the Great Depression. And that included those of us who are now senior citizens who remember the Vietnam War. This is the worst time in history, they said. What happened? What happened to people like Norman Vincent Peale, who could help us to feel better, who pushed that power of positive thinking? And what about all of those people who have published books and become rich, telling us that we can do it ourselves? That if you only believe, you can. And then we get our noses rubbed in the human condition, and we realize that we are trapped, and there's nothing that we can do to think our way out of being trapped. And so, psychology and sociology have it right. They've taught us that we are caught in a tight web of things outside of ourselves and some things inside of us that are predetermined. I can't think any other way. I've always thought this way. It's in my genes to think this way. And then there's those people who make a mistake and they go, ugh, to themselves now, because they've heard it enough from out there. There you go again. It's your own fault. And the voice of our parents saying, what did I tell you would happen? You've messed up again. And these voices may not be that strong for us all of the time, but these voices come back to us when we face difficulties. But then there's voices like the voice of Abilene Clark in The Help. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. Or Stuart Smalley saying, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Or the book that Og Mandino wrote, The Greatest Miracle in the World. At the end of the book, there's a memorandum for how we can, how we were made and how we can live our lives. It's called The Greatest Miracle in the World because every one of us is the greatest miracle in the world, is what he says. And you read this memorandum for 100 days, and you will believe that you are the greatest miracle in the world. Boy, I did that. I read it 100 nights right before I went to sleep. And it made a difference. But I still get caught sometimes in hopelessness. And Pilate was there. Saying that our king was going to die. And our king didn't use any of the resources that we have to protect ourselves. And why didn't they know? Why don't we know then that if he's not fighting to hold on to this life, that there's got to be something more? And something better. This Sunday, We celebrate the one who is in charge. Thank you, God. We thank God for the one who asserts before the world that he is in charge. He sits on a throne. He reigns on a cross. He's our king. And that's, again, that's a difficult concept for us in our time, because the kings that we look at now, the kings who are the nations that still have kings, really have just figureheads. They have no power. And there's danger in that for us, because if we look at the countries that have kings and see them with all their glitter and the nation supporting them, helping them to live a lifestyle that only the rich and famous live, we see that as the model of a king or a queen or a ruler. And we need to remind ourselves again that that's not who Jesus taught us is a ruler. The King of Kings, the ruler of this world, is the one who puts within us compassion for someone who needs help. And when we've got the resources to share them. The one who is in charge has offered forgiveness to every one of us so that we can be forgiving. The one who is in charge loved this creation so much that he took all that was broken, all that was sinful, all that harmed others, and says, I can heal this. I want to heal this. Please let me heal this. And this is the truth. The scripture never tells us that Pilate came to understand the truth after Jesus' death and resurrection. So we assume that he never came to know it. The truth is a story of a God who has so much love, so much compassion, so much patience, so much commitment to us that he's willing to die. And even in that, we are then convinced that there's stronger power somewhere else until 3 days later. And Jesus receives new life. And that means that we receive new life. So that doesn't mean that we as Jesus followers are never pessimistic or never lacking hope. Because that's the world. But it means that that's not the final word. God has already given us the final word. Amen. We worship one God, the one God who stands at the beginning and at the end of history. Every day we have a chance to participate in the work that God is doing in the world. and in bringing our gifts, we are offering hope to lives. We affirm our trust in this power beyond violence, beyond greed. So let us gladly give. Let us gladly share what we have, that it can be in service to God. I invite the ushers. Let us pray together with gratitude for all the blessings you have poured into our lives, Lord Jesus. We come bringing these gifts that they may be used in service to those in need. Bless these gifts and those who have given them, that they may truly be a blessing in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me share with you that Pat Walter fell while she was taking a shower earlier this week, and she's in St. Mary's Hospital. Missed out on Thanksgiving. Are there other people or situations that you want to lift? Oh, yes, Karen. Okay, the Clavidashers have both died within, both were over 90 and both died within a month's time of each other. She died on Thanksgiving Day. Well, I'm thankful that our hunters have arrived home safely. I trust that if you haven't filled your tags yet, that I know where you'll be going following worship. Let us pray. Gracious God, this day, as every day, we are invited to draw nearer to you. We are invited to live with you in our hearts, invited to take your reign. And remind us that your kingdom is a kingdom of hope and of light, in which there is no darkness or fear or sadness. And we remember, O God, that it is you who has called us to be a kingdom people, living our lives in the knowledge that peace and justice and hope are not only possible, but can be a ruling reality in this world for those who follow you. For those who do not know you, by your infinite love and mercy, use us or those around them to share the truth that you have given to us. Help us to be the kind of disciples that welcome everyone with words of kindness and acts of mercy and peace to all in need. And it is in that that people come to know you. We bring before you Pat Walter for your healing and comforting touch. We pray that all of those who are yet hunting would continue to be safe in that. We thank you for the life of the Clavidatchers and the witness that they have been in this community and surrounding areas. Remind us, O God, that we are never out of your grace and mercy. We know that you will give us the strength and the wisdom to be growing disciples. And we celebrate and honor you now and always. We pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 2190, Bring Forth the Kingdom of God. Please stand.
Bring forth the kingdom of God.
Brothers and sisters, there is no greater joy in life, no greater freedom than to offer our lives in service to God. Let that same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. May the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, be your strength, your hope, and your joy this day and always. Amen.